the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. For those of you outside of Denver, Colorado, one of our two main newspapers here is the Rocky Mountain News, and banner headline today, January 8th, 2002, in the Columbine story, where parents have filed a lawsuit saying that their son, Danny Rohrbaugh, was killed by a police officer, and that was very understandable, but then that there's been a cover-up. And so the banner headline today, cop changes story. Arapaho deputy admits saying he saw student shot at Columbine. That's big. That's very big. This is Deputy Taylor in Arapaho County. Now, the sheriff of Arapaho County, Sheriff Sullivan, he and I have been at odds over the years, and he doesn't like me any. But we'll get to that a bit later. But anyway, the sheriff's not looking good in this story. Deputy admits to Columbine tape. So Brian Rohrbaugh tape recorded this deputy in one of the number, he gave about a half dozen statements to different members of the family about seeing Danny get killed, that he was shot and he was dead before he hit the ground. And so now, he's denying it because the official Jefferson County Sheriff's Department timeline says that all the kids who were killed were dead before any of the police got there. All the kids were dead, and therefore, not only could the police not have done anything to save them, but certainly no police officer could have killed any of the kids who died. And the timeline is riddled with contradictions and errors. So why is that? Well, we think there's the evidence here with a tape recording of this Deputy Taylor of Arapaho County saying that he saw Danny Rohrbaugh being killed. At any rate, we'll get to that, some of those details, in a little bit. But first, Wendy's founder, the restaurant Wendy, their founder David Thomas, died today. And he's obviously a tremendously successful businessman who's helped millions, tens of millions over time, hundreds of millions of people achieve their goals in their lives by not having to cook their own meals and take the time and the effort to provide for your own nourishment when you're busy. So he's really done a lot to help improve the standard of living in America, providing competition, good, inexpensive food, maybe not the most nutritious, but helps to keep millions of people alive to get a lot of other work done so that they could live better. So there's trade-offs with fast food as there is with many things in life. You know, when I think about Wendy's, I don't pay a lot of attention to the normal details of daily life, as my family could tell you. I'm not very aware of normal things. In the wee hours of the morning a couple years ago in South Bend, Indiana, I drove into what I guess was a Wendy's restaurant in the far north end of town through their drive-thru, and I remember saying, "Can I get a Whopper?" And the voice from the speaker said, "No." I looked around and I figured out that I wasn't at a Burger King. So, and I, you know, it's not like me to read the menu. So I said, "Well then, can I get a number one?" And the voice said, "Not if you're expecting a Big Mac." I really had a chuckle over that one. But David Thomas built a successful business and now he will stand before God. But every last dollar of his earned money cannot buy him entry into heaven. No, money cannot get you into heaven. Only blood can. Only blood can purchase eternal life for you. Remember Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not enter into eternal life." Wow, Jesus was pretty rough. You know, he could have said that in a less offensive way. But he wasn't very interested in being less offensive. After all, he was the rock of offense. Our phone number is 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Jesus said that if we deny him, that he would deny us in heaven. That's not very inclusive or tolerant. And then remember what Jesus said in Luke 19? That you'll never find this on a poster in a church, ever. What Jesus said in Luke 19, he said, bring them here, those enemies of mine who would not obey me, and slay them before me. Whoa, that's pretty serious. And then I want to talk about the terrorist, Zacharias Moussaoui. He wants to get on television. He wants to get on TV. He wants his trial televised. If conservative Christians were running the government, then Moussaoui would get on TV. He would. In his execution. And if conservative Christians were running the government, we would recriminalize a few things, sort of clean house. Recriminalize adultery, pornography, abortion, bestiality, homosexuality. And we would swiftly and painfully execute every convicted murderer. And we'd allow the public full access to the executions and televise them. That's a good way to do that. Oh, yeah, and by the way, we would eliminate every tax in America but one, a 5% income tax. That would be it. And that would reduce the effective tax rate by 90%. Because what are we taxed in America? Well, we're taxed 50%. If you add up payroll deduction, income tax, and sales tax, and gasoline tax, and utility tax, and telephone tax, and on tax, sin tax, every kind of tax you want, it adds up to 50% of our gross national product. So we'd eliminate all of that and just have one 5% income tax, reducing the effective tax rate by 90%. So those are the things that we would do, along with putting Zacharias Moussaoui on TV. We'll make him famous. Hey, the global warming hype that was in the media a couple weeks ago, and I've been laughing, saying ever since then, there's been a deep freeze across Europe, across the southern states of the U.S. Now it's hit the Middle East. Rare blizzard hits Mideast, according to the Associated Press. This out of Jordan, the capital city of Jordan, Amman, Jordan. Workers struggled to clear more than a foot of snow from Jordan's capital yesterday, today, Tuesday, after a rare blizzard in the Middle East. A foot of snow in Jordan? That's just, the liberals say global warming and God just socks it to them. 800-8-N-Yart.
Some people believe that Christians can speak in tongues. Some people believe that speaking in tongues has passed away. Are we saved by grace alone, or are there works involved? Some people believe that miracles are happening today. Others don't. How can all these disagreements come from the Bible if it's the inspired Word of God? Is there an answer to all these questions? In his book, The Plot, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, shows you the one Bible verse that solves all the apparent contradictions. Think that one verse can't solve these complex problems? Get The Plot today, and if you're not convinced, we will refund your money. Order The Plot for $29.95. Does God want the government to execute criminals? The Old Testament supports the death penalty, but now we are to turn the other cheek, right? The New Testament material concerning the death penalty starts in Matthew and continues through all the Gospels, Acts and Romans. It goes all through to Revelation. God and the Death Penalty is the video we've produced to arm you with the New Testament support for executing criminals. If the death penalty is immoral, then what does that say of God the Father demanding that Jesus Christ die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? God and the Death Penalty, a two-hour video exploring the biblical support of the death penalty, is available for $24.95 by calling 1-888-8-ENYART. Bob Enyart Live is back on the air, but to stay on the air and grow, we need to hear from you. We offer many products with Bob's insightful and unique biblical perspective. If you appreciate Bob's ministry, let us know by writing us at Bob Enyart Live, P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado 80001, or go online to kgov.com.
Yeah, for any public school teachers tuning in right now, Jordan, in the Middle East, it's normally warm there. It's normally warm there. Snow is rather rare. And so this storm, they got more than a foot of snow in Jordan, and it stranded motorists, cut power lines, shut schools, delayed international flights in Jordan. And now the storm, according to an Arabic meteorologist, the storm is moving toward Iraq. All right. People were worried about the winter setting in Afghanistan, and it hasn't really been a problem, has it? We dismantled the government, destroyed an army, and took apart a terrorist base, and without the weather being really much of a concern. So maybe during winter we could move toward Iraq, set our sights on Iraq. That'd be nice. But at any rate, they expect that the temperatures in Jordan will dip below freezing again, making their streets icy, and they're shrouded in fog and covered with ice and snow there in Amman. And some Jordanians took advantage of the unusually heavy snowfall, and they built snowmen. And they strapped bombs to their waist and turned them into suicide bomber snowmen. Oh, no, wait a second. Who added that to the story? Who added that to the Associated Press account? Somebody played a trick on me. So, that's what's going on in the Middle East. Just to make fun of the global warming fanatics. All right. Now, this Columbine story. You know, Sheriff Sullivan of Arapahoe County, that the counties around Jefferson County, they responded to the calls from Columbine. In fact, some of the kids in Columbine, their dads were, say, Denver police officers, and one kid called his dad from a cell phone and said, "Dad, they're shooting at school." And, of course, the dad, a Denver cop, rushed to Columbine. And all hundreds of law enforcement officers responded. And hundreds were there. And the ones who were there early on got there while the fighting was still going. While Harris and Klebold were still killing kids. And Danny Rohrbaugh, evidence is really overwhelming that Danny was not killed by Harris or Klebold. There wasn't even a single shell found on the ground in the area from which Danny was fatally shot. There wasn't a single shell found, but there were shells found from two cops in that area. And so of all the cops on the scene, hundreds, only two could have theoretically killed Danny. One of those two, and by accident, no doubt, but one of them too, and that's it. Oh yeah. And coincidentally, one of those two, a Denver SWAT officer, O'Shea, the next day was crying like a baby in front of a Jefferson County education bureaucrat, saying that he had shot a kid. He killed a kid. He was pretty sure he killed a kid, but that he was told that ballistics said he couldn't do it. He couldn't have done it. Well, then why would he be crying like that? Well, the emotion. Yeah, but they didn't send ballistics in for another week. So who told him that? Well, somebody who wanted to believe, and he wanted to believe. So anyway, and the parents heard a police radio report, one of the cops at Columbine saying, "Shooter down." That's rather interesting. So because neither Harris nor Klebold were shot, and they weren't down, but Danny was down. And Danny was not killed, not at all, in the way that the official report has it that he died. But he was killed the way Deputy Taylor of Arapahoe County told the parents 2 days after Columbine, the way he saw their son die, that's how Danny did die. Deputy Jim Taylor at Arapahoe County told Brian and Lisa Rohrbaugh, Sue and Rich Patrone, and Brian Rohrbaugh's parents in separate conversations at a couple different locations that he got there, he saw a boy running down a sidewalk, he saw him get shot, and that he was dead before he hit the ground. And he didn't know until the next day that it was Danny Rohrbaugh. Well, of course he wouldn't know who it was. And now he's talking to the family, and he tells them the story. So he tells it on a few different occasions, all within a day or two. And then 11 months later, he tells it again. And Brian Rohrbaugh records this. Actually, I think his ex-wife, Sue Patrone, is wearing the wire. And I tell you, Brian is an expert. When 60 Minutes did a show on Columbine last year, they listened to dozens of hours of Brian's recordings, and they said, how in the world did you get this kind of quality? We can't get recordings this good. They really are pretty good, and some of them are much better than others. But he takes a big pen and just hollows out the top of the black and puts the microphone in there. And so you got a pen in your pocket, and it couldn't be better, and sounds fabulous. You know, a high quality, a very expensive miniature microphone, and you got a great tool. And some people have criticized Brian Rohrbaugh for recording this conversation. But if there's any question of the propriety of recording a conversation, once a governing official then lies about the death of your son in the most dramatic and public way, then you are fully vindicated for having recorded that conversation. And so, you know what's interesting? Brian has been condemned by different voices in the media and privately by people for recording this conversation. Brian's legal deed, what Brian did legally, is condemned, while so many are willing to overlook or dismiss the illegal action of the police officer lying. He's now violated at least a couple laws. It's against the law to do what he did, to knowingly make false statements in a police investigation. So the deputy admits to Columbine tape. The Rocky Mountain News banner headline today, cop changes story. Arapahoe deputy admits saying he saw a student shot at Columbine. Now, I'd like to read to you from this Rocky Mountain News article. A sheriff's deputy has acknowledged that it is his voice on the controversial tape recording in which he claimed to have seen a student shot at Columbine High School. Now, the sheriff, by the way, says that a written statement from 2 weeks ago is from this deputy, Jim Taylor, is correct, and that the recording is not true. All right, now, how would Sheriff Sullivan know that? Well, Arapahoe County Sheriff Pat Sullivan said he has heard the tape, the 8 short sections of the tape that were played last week for reporters after Deputy Jim Taylor issued a written statement denying that he'd seen any of the victims wounded in the school tragedy. It's Taylor's voice, and he has admitted that it is him, said the sheriff. Sullivan was asked how the tape recording could possibly match Taylor's written statement, which was given just 2 weeks ago. And Sheriff Sullivan said, it doesn't. However, Sullivan said he believes Taylor was telling the truth when he denied seeing anyone get shot 2.5 years after Columbine. How's that one? The December 31st statement is solid, said Sheriff Sullivan. It is the truth. he said. What's on the tape is not. Isn't that interesting? So Deputy Jim Taylor then would have been lying to the parents in this emotional time, this crisis, and he's lying to them when you lose a child and you're so desperate to get any detail about what his last moments were like and whether he suffered or not. And Jim Taylor describes the scene, and it turns out now with what we've learned from the autopsy and 100 other details, he described it with astounding accuracy. Astounding accuracy. So, but Sullivan, somehow, he wasn't there, but he knows. His deputy, who is a liar, and who has lied to him and lied to the public, because he not only said he didn't see Danny get killed, but he said he had never said anything to the families to lead them to believe that he did. How's that one? Deputy Taylor states that he has not said anything to the Rohrbaugh family that could lead them to believe he witnessed any shots being fired at Columbine. That's according to Sheriff Sullivan's press release from New Year's Eve. So Deputy Taylor states that he has not said anything to the Rohrbaugh family that could lead them to believe he witnessed any shots being fired at Columbine. You know, I almost feel like calling the sheriff myself, the sheriff of Arapahoe County. I feel like calling him up. You know, I tried a few years ago to get the message out that he's a liar. Well, let me see. Was it exactly that he's a liar? Well, he really did his bit unnecessarily to hurt pro-lifers and to defend an abortionist and use the power of his office to a woman. At one of our protests, we had women, children, baby strollers in a cul-de-sac at an abortionist house out front of the house, and a neighbor woman sped up her car and veered toward this group of people who all lunged out of the way, and a deputy who was sent to investigate on the scene talked to the woman driver and gave her a ticket because he said that her story agreed with the protester's story, that she veered toward us and sped up because she didn't like us. Well, you know, just because you don't agree with protesters doesn't mean you could use your car as a weapon to threaten them. So he rightly so gave her a ticket, and Sheriff Sullivan the next day, when he found out that the victims were pro-lifers, he dismissed the ticket. And so I wanted to do what I could at the time to communicate to the public that he was a man of disrepute, that he was not a wise man, that he was foolish and not a good law enforcement official. And apparently I failed. I didn't do a good job. But Sheriff Sullivan, you're doing a great job right now. You're doing a better job than ever I could have done, because it is so obvious that countless lies have been told, cover-ups, and there's no indication that you were involved in the cover-up until now. Until now. Goodbye, Denver, and we'll be right back.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
You must be them NYARC people. Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So This is George from Jersey. Out!
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart, so if you could give me a buzz. My name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against too, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart.
We are back. Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278.
You've got mail.
I've got mail. I'm on KGov Live at AOL.com. All right, so if anybody would like to instant message or email comments, you could either call at 1-800-8-INYART or email or instant message. And here's a message. Let's see, we just got death of Buddy the dog. Suspicious. Bob, did you notice something suspicious during the network TV news coverage of the death of Buddy the dog? At the same time they were telling us that Buddy died after running out into the street and being hit by a car, they were showing footage of Clinton sending Buddy deep to fetch a stick. Did Buddy run into the street on his own, or was he led astray? Do we need a PETA investigation? All right. Now, this is from Ship Shawana, this email here. I love the show and look forward to a trip to Denver soon to visit your church. That'd be Denver Bible Church. And volunteer at KGov if you have something for me to do. Well, thank you very much, Ship Shawana. I appreciate that. Someone listening via WHME. Certainly, anybody wants to come out to Denver, feel free to visit Denver Bible Church. Find the map. The directions on the internet at denverbiblechurch.org. Yeah, Buddy the dog, the former first dog, is found dead and frozen. And there seems to be evidence that he actually died somewhere else and his body was moved. And, of course, it turns out that Bill and Hillary Clinton were both out of town at the time of the death. But, of course, that matches their MO. Of course they'd be out of town at the time of the death. What do you think, they hire a hitman and then stick around and watch? Okay. So anyway, Buddy's death is suspicious. And here we have an instant message from Las Vegas. Bob, I am getting the feeling that Israel is backing off of their statement that they would no longer talk with Arafat. What do you think? Well, Las Vegas, you're exactly right. They are backing off of that. They haven't actually done it yet, but they have laid the groundwork for caving in. And it's foolish because Arafat is a terrorist and you don't negotiate with terrorists. And when you do, you undermine your own moral authority. They're just foolish. So foolish. Especially when the U.S. finally was backing Israel and defending themselves. And that huge cache of weapons from Iran that Israel found. Yeah, Las Vegas says, oh no, this will be bad. Yeah, it will be bad. That huge cache of weapons, plastic explosives, dynamite, missiles, all in violation of Arafat, of the PLO's agreement with Israel that they would not be importing such weapons. And of course, they violated that agreement. And you think they'd use those weapons for typical military actions they've been taking over the last year and a half, like blowing up women and children? Oh, no, they wouldn't do that, would they? No, they wouldn't do that. All right. Now, hey, our government is apparently, according to Reuters, a story out today, we are searching for thousands of men in the U.S. and with a goal of deporting them, men who are here from countries that have active Al-Qaeda cells, terrorist groups, who have ignored our INS correspondence. You know, sometimes somebody's here on a visa and the INS says, hey, your deadline's up. Give us a call. And they don't call. Or come and visit. And they don't visit. And so now the government is saying that they're going to track down these people, thousands of them, and deport them. After, I hope, getting all the information we can out of them. All right. And if Israel begins to interact with Arafat again, is it the result of pressure from the U.S.? Well, I imagine, it seems to me that we're somewhere behind pretty much every foolish Israeli foreign policy. So, yeah, we're probably involved. All right. Now, hey, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. You know what a senior citizen center is, right? A senior center? Well, there's a senior center opening up in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and it's for homosexuals. Yeah, that's true. This is another Associated Press story. So we'll get to that in a moment. But our phone number, you know, I always say 1-800. You could also dial 888 if the 800 line is busy. 1-888-8-NYART. Same phone number, just different area code, either 800 or 888. All right. Hey, just to finish the Columbine story, the Rocky Mountain News writes this on page 5. They write, if this Deputy Taylor did see Rohrbaugh get shot, it would call into question the official timeline of events issued by the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, which has determined that Rohrbaugh was killed by Dylan Klebold in the first minutes of the rampage before any law enforcement officers arrived. And I think that the teacher in the science lab, I think that the teacher died completely unnecessarily. After Jefferson County knew that he was dead, that Harrison Klebold were dead, they waited 3.5 hours before they brought the teacher out. Sanders, 3.5 hours. Wow. So what was going on? What was going on in 3.5 hours? What could that possibly have been? Well, if one of the very first things that happens is an officer accidentally kills a kid, then a couple things could start to transpire. For one, who's ever in charge, and that would be Sheriff John Stone of Jefferson County, he could lose faith in his own guys and get angry, and he doesn't want this huge event to go down looking like a disaster for him and his career in the department. So instead of aggressively trying to control the situation and save kids and teachers who are injured, he secures the perimeter. And he pretty much secures the perimeter for the next 3 hours. And when they do send SWAT in, they go in at the opposite end of the building where there's nobody and no action. And it takes hours to get to where they knew that the entire time that a teacher was bleeding to death. And you know the gall? After that teacher died, the unmitigated gall for Jefferson County to say, well, even if we got him earlier, he might have died anyway. Talk about not only a hard heart, but an ego and a complete lack of humility. I just despise that. Man. Even if everything they did was exactly right, they should say, we're so sorry that we didn't get him earlier. And of course, if we did get him earlier, he may have lived. And that adds to our sadness for not having gotten him earlier. But we thought we were doing everything right. At least if they had done everything right, they could say that. But now what has happened, we can see, is that right off the bat, a cop kills a kid. That's an accident. That's unfortunate. But that's not criminal. But then pulling back and letting people die because you're thinking through reworking the timeline that none of the cops got there until all the kids were dead, and you do almost nothing for hours, and you feign this extraordinary confusion when it wasn't extraordinary confusion, because everybody was locked down under desks, in closets, or dead, or bleeding for 3.5 hours. While you're getting the story straight and working out the timeline and securing the perimeter, that's the problem. Shooting a kid by accident in a crisis is not a crime. Covering it up is. Lying to the parents is. Delaying help is.
Bob Enyart teaches the Bible like few others, and one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, he carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah. And you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver. and we're going through the entire Bible. You can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-NYARD.
Okay. So I'm looking at the emails we've got here in the last couple minutes. David Thomas got his first job when he was 12. Now, liberals wouldn't like that, right? They wouldn't allow that, the child labor laws. They'd rather have midnight basketball with kids walking through the worst ghettos to get somewhere to play midnight basketball, but not have a job. Do liberals make any sense to you? Does it make any sense at all? I mean, you really got to be stupid to be a liberal. Right? Liberals, this is the all-time utmost stupid thing in the world. When liberals say that homos are born that way, but the differences between boys and girls are learned. That's really funny. That's really, really funny. That gender differences between male and female are environmental, but that being a homo is genetic. That is so funny. It's so unbelievably funny. That boys and girls, the only reason we're different is because of environmental factors. Being a boy or being a girl, that's all learned behavior. But being a homo, you were born that way. Is that funny or what? And liberals, they don't want young kids to have jobs, but they'll allow them, in fact, they'll organize midnight basketball in the inner city. So, you know, the 12-year-old is walking home at 1:30 a.m. through a gang-infested territory. But they won't let him work. How's that one? That's pretty funny, I think. All right. Oh, also, David Thomas established a foundation for adoption. You know, pro-lifers say adoption, not abortion. Don't kill kids. Love kids. Don't kill them. Right, what other email do we have here? Okay, that was a pretty good one. Here, subject, Homo Senior Center. Hello, Bob. This comes from Kansas. A senior center for homosexuals? I don't think I'd buy stock in that company. How many old homosexuals can there be? 3? Oh, that's funny. That's from Dave in Kansas. Thank you, Dave. That's a kick. And this here, email, Middle East snowstorms. Middle East snowstorms, exclamation mark. This may indicate the return of the Lord. Okay. Now, come on now. That gets me a little concerned here in South Bend. You know, Jesus is not coming back on a snowstorm. He's not. He's just not. We Christians, every news story, every dramatic news story, we think it's the fulfillment of prophecy and the Lord's coming back. Y2K was going to be the end of the world, the return of the Lord, and Jesus was coming back on a computer bug. So he might be coming back on a white horse, but not on a snowman. Not in a snowstorm, and not on a computer bug. And World War I was not the end times. World War II was not the end times. 1948 was not the end times. The turn of the first millennium was not the end times. The world didn't end at the turn of the second millennium. Right? Halley's Comet and the Black Plague were not the signs of the second coming. And neither was the persecution of the Jews by the Nazis. That wasn't a sign of the end times. And Israel became a nation in 1948, and a couple generations have come and gone since then, and there's been no second coming. So we Christians need to be careful when we talk about prophecy being fulfilled. Man, I would love it for Jesus to come back. I vote for that. I'm all for that. As Peter says, pray that you can hasten the coming of the Lord. And we can. We can hasten the coming of the Lord by living righteously. But, oh boy, all these prophecies. If you want to get a better handle on prophecy, now this is what I think. Now, I could be wrong. Any human being could be wrong on any number of topics. And I could be wrong. But I think you understand Bible prophecy by getting an overview of the entire Bible. That's what I think. And when you get an overview of the entire Bible, then the prophetic statements fall into place as if by accident. Your effort wasn't even to understand end times prophecy. You weren't going after a true eschatology. You were just studying the Bible. And when you got down the overview of the entire Bible, then all the prophecy passages fell into place. And all the seeming contradictions disappeared. And it made sense. Now that's pretty cool, isn't it? Well, that's what we try to do in that manuscript, The Plot, that you might hear about in some of our commercials. But The Plot, an overview of the entire Bible, a manuscript I've written and we've sold a couple thousand copies of, you can get it by calling 1-888-NYART. Day or night, whenever, we'll take your order or you can leave a message. Or you can order it on the web at kgov.com. Go up to the top right, click on Bob's Materials. And when you get an overview of the whole Bible, then you see why all these prophecies, all these Christians for decades, centuries, millennia have been wrong when they've said, look, I remember when the European Union was forming. It was called the Common Market. And people said, they got 10 countries, 10 countries. It's the 10 toes of Daniel. It's the 10 kings revelation. It's coming, it's happening. It's the end of the world. And Jesus is coming back. And look at the European Common Market. It's all there. Prophecy right in front of us at 10 toes. And then there were 11. And everyone was discouraged. What are we going to do? There's 11. Well, you know, one doesn't count. It's not really much of a country. And then there were 12. And then there were 15 and 16. And then that didn't work. And then a generation was 40 years. And 1988 would be the second coming and 81 would be the rapture. And then 81 passed and then 88 passed. And then a generation was 56 years. It just doesn't work. So I appreciate the sentiment from South Bend that we hope that our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be back soon. But we really want to get our act together and not be declaring every major news headline a fulfillment of prophecy. Because when we do, we might cut ourselves a lot of slack, but unbelievers may not. And if they're going to stumble, if they're going to stumble, let them stumble at the cross. Let them stumble at the rock of offense, Jesus Christ. But don't let them stumble at our own rash declarations. Don't let them stumble because we are forever declaring fulfillments of prophecy when it's just news as usual. You know, we don't want to become the body of Art Dinglings. You know Art Dingling? Who's that radio guy? Art Dingling? Oh no, Art Bell. That's his name, Art Bell. Around here we call him Art Dingling. Well, Art Dingling, you know, if airplanes are going across the sky and they're leaving their contrails, I'll say, did you see what's happening? There are lines in the sky. That's the kind of show he does. Really? Yes, there are lines in the sky. Not only that, there's been a lot of lightning lately. Really? Not only that, some crops have died. Really? What does it all mean? Well, Christians get like that. It's just a shame. We need to use wisdom. All right. Let's see. Let me go back to the homosexual senior center in Florida. Fort Lauderdale. This, we're not making this up either. This is another Associated Press story. Florida's first daycare center, specializing in care for, not daycare center, but day center, senior center, for homos and FOMOs. Okay, all right, so the Associated Press didn't exactly write FOMOs. They said for homos and lesbians. Well, all right, they didn't exactly say homos, but they said gays, specializing in care for gay and lesbian elders. Now, most homosexuals die at an average age of 42. At least that's based on a research project, a database of about 8,000 homosexual obituaries published in their own newspapers and magazines. So when most people live to the 70s, homosexuals die at average age 42. That's tragic, of course. Unless they die of AIDS, then they die at age 39. But, okay, so this senior center will specialize in care for homos and FOMOs. Well, somebody in the audience doesn't, in the studio audience, doesn't recognize the term FOMO. That's a female homo, a homo and a FOMO. And the elders, this senior center for homosexual elderly people could open up this summer. The Area Agency on Aging, which funds senior centers in Broward County, promised $200,000 in federal seed money to start the senior center in Fort Lauderdale. They call it the Sunshine Cathedral. How's that? The Sunshine Cathedral. I thought there was a separation of church and dates. I mean, church and state. Sunshine Cathedral. And you know what? This homosexual senior center, a couple hundred thousand dollars of federal money. Do you think it'll create a stir? Much of a fuss? Not hardly. You know, Republican leaders, is it that they're not opposed to the homosexual agenda? Or is it that they're afraid of the homo community, so they're silenced? The only thing necessary for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. And when it was the homos against the Boy Scouts, man, at the height of the presidential campaign, no one said a word in defense of the Boy Scouts. Why is that? Yeesh. According to this official, about 15,000 homo seniors, homo and FOMO seniors, live in Broward County. I do not believe that. I don't believe that. I dispute that. 15,000 seniors in Broward County. In my whole life of interacting with way more homos than I'd ever want to, I've only come across a couple homos age 60 or older. Hey, this is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Now, whatever you